In the epistle, St. Paul tells the Romans, "Brethren, knowing that it is now the hour for us to rise from sleep, for now our salvation is nearer than when we believed. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen." The life of St. Philip Neri is filled with stories showing what a wonderful confessor he was. And on one occasion, a young man asked him to hear his confession, and afterwards St. Philip began asking him about his future. I think one of the younger fathers told this story recently, but it's always worth hearing again. St. Philip asked the young man, "What are you going to do in life?" "Well, at the moment, Father, I'm studying law." "And then?" "Well, I shall work with my father until I am able to establish my own business." "And then?" "Well, I presume, Father, that I shall get married and have a family." "And then?" "Well, I suppose that, like all men, I shall live to support my family, then grow old in their service and die." And then St. Philip looked at him very intently this time. And he said, "And then?" Reportedly, nothing else was said in that conversation, but that young man went away and he became a Carthusian monk. Did you know that the Dies Irae, that long and haunting sequence that is sung at a requiem or funeral mass so often, well, it used to be sung on this, the first Sunday of Advent, around the time of the Gospel. And it is because the thought of death and of judgment, which the Gospel brings before us today, is meant to move men to think about their future and to plan for their eternity. A few years of life, and then death, judgment, and eternity. These are the realities for us all, realities that are not meant to keep us in a sort of slavish fear, but realities which we all must face, some sooner, some later, but all at one time or another. It is the thought that always stuck with Saint Jerome, who said, "Whether I eat or drink, or whatsoever I do, it is as if I heard the awful summons of that trumpet, 'Ye dead, arise and come to judgment.'" But how many, truthfully, there are who sleep all the way to their judgment? Sin does this to us. It keeps us asleep, blinding us to truth and to virtue. But then again, so does, in a lesser degree, the cell phone and social media. It keeps our minds occupied with the things that it shouldn't be occupied with, to the exclusion, to some degree or another, of spiritual truths. But St. Paul comes onto the scene today and he says, "Wake up. Look," he says, "it is now the hour for us to rise from sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed." So the thought of this judgment is placed before us today by Holy Mother Church so that we, not through servile fear, but through filial fear, the love of a son for his father, we might begin to prepare for the birth of our Lord on Christmas, but even more so for his coming into our souls by grace. Now, back in the days when we had a pope, not in my lifetime certainly, the pope would offer Mass today in the Church of St. Mary Major, where the relic of the true crib of our Lord is kept. And there the faithful were reminded not only of the real human nature of Christ, but of what our blessed Lord did for the sake of souls from all eternity. Your soul, my soul, they were the object of God's thoughts. He made them in his image. He built the universe for the sake of our souls. And when that soul had fallen, the Son of God left the glory of his Father and was born in a little crib in a dark cave. He had come to earth to set that soul free again. The devil, he is willing to pay a big price for your soul. He'll do anything it takes to rob God of that glory of one's soul. And the world, it doesn't much care one way or the other for your soul. In fact, it probably doesn't even believe that you have one. But God became man for your soul. So what value do you put upon your immortal soul? Are you just sort of sleeping through life, maybe a slave to some sin or another, or giving more thought to your 9-to-5 career than to your eternal salvation? Or maybe just too wrapped up in looking at some screen or another to think much about the matters of the soul? Well, the liturgical alarm clock is going off today. Do you hear it? Well, will you just, like you so often do in the mornings, just hit the snooze button again and roll back over in a sort of spiritual lethargy? Well, St. Paul tells us, wake up. Your salvation is at hand. And we should say upon awaking, to thee, O Lord, have I lifted up my soul. And we ought to turn to the crib, as the faithful once would have done in St. Mary Major, and learn our Lord's very first gospel lessons on the value of a soul, of obedience and poverty, of mortification and humility, and above all, of the esteem of spiritual things over the material. If you want to prepare yourself, I mean really prepare yourself spiritually for Christmas, and even more so for judgment, first, you must wake up, and you must shake off the sleep of sin. You must put away all of those things that will distract your attention, the things that you know will not help you to heaven, the things that keep your mind and your desires attached to the material and to the earthly. And then in the words of the gospel, take heed to yourselves. Take heed lest the cares of this life absorb your mind and sink your faculties and do not allow you to think about your salvation. Do you want a first step in your this year's Advent program? Well, it's one that is, I think, good not only for Advent, but really for all of life. And here it is, from the prophet Isaiah, from whom we read so often during Advent. He said, if you seek, seek. The reason, in other words, that you and I keep falling into the same faults is not at all because God is not helping us, nor because we have not been given the supernatural help that we so require. It is, if we are completely honest with ourselves, because we do not really and truly desire to overcome our faults and to attain virtue and to become saints. Most of you already know that famous story of St. Thomas Aquinas. One day, speaking to his sister, she asked him what she could do to save her immortal soul. And you would expect from a great saint and doctor of the church as St. Thomas Aquinas, some really brilliant and well-worded argument, some advice on the spiritual life, some great devotion, some penance. But instead, his response to his sister was quite simple. Will it. Desire it with all of your heart. In other words, it is not enough to have, some sort of desire for virtue, some sort of vague desire to overcome your fault, but perhaps not today. We must absolutely hunger and thirst for it. If you put it another way, if you will it, you will be saved. If you will it, you will improve in your spiritual life. That is the whole solution right there. Because God already wants your improvement. He already wants your salvation and has and will continue to give you all the help and all the grace that you need. But it is that we do not will and desire really to become better. And perhaps it is because of the fear of what God might be asking you to sacrifice next that keeps you back. Perhaps it is what others might think of you, but each one of us has that one thing which threatens to just choke out any desire, holy desire, that we conceive of to become saints. But you are the person who must take to heart your own improvement. On you depends whether you improve or not, whether you will be saved or not. It is up to you to make up your mind. The helps of God are already there. It is your will, your resolute desire and determination that is always lacking. St. Bernard says that there is no greater sign of God's presence in a soul than having a great desire of more virtue and of more grace. So if you feel that hunger and thirst for spiritual things, rejoice. That is a great thing in the spiritual life. But we must never allow those desires to lie dormant. We must put them into execution. In other words, the words of Isaiah, if you seek, seek. Keep always the judgment of God before you. Or if you wish, if you prefer, kneel in spirit before the crib of our Savior and see his goodness beckoning to you. Wake up. The day of salvation is at hand. And this is the first of this year's Advent program, to cultivate holy desires, efficacious holy desires, to improve spiritually, to sacrifice that one thing that does or could stand between you and Christ. It is to make a conscious effort to do this week. A help to that would be sincerely to turn off the screens and pick up a good spiritual book, because the screen will only stifle holy desires, while spiritual books implant holy desires. And may your soul be filled with holy desires this Advent. May God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.